praying together. Gracious God, on this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for the work of our hands and for all those whose labor blesses our lives. As we worship today, Lord, quiet our hearts, renew our spirits, remind us that our worth is not measured by what we earn or produce or accomplish, but by the grace that we've received through Jesus Christ. Lord, you've paid the debt that we could never pay. Now teach us to gladly carry the one debt that remains, the debt of loving one another. Fill us with your Spirit and prepare us for the work your kingdom, for the work of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're watching us in one of our campuses, you probably shared your joys and concerns already. If you're watching us online, God knows what's in your heart. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer with our joys, our concerns, together. God, our Maker, in the beginning, you called men and women to be stewards of the earth. You created and gave them meaningful work to do. They named the animals. They tended to your garden. They used their imaginations, observing the world, fulfilling their vocation as those who bore your image and likeness. Now, still today, you call us to do your work and to continue to bless, and you continue to bless us in our activities. Lord, we praise you when we find meaning for life. We're grateful for the means to provide our daily bread through our jobs and careers. We thank you for the variety of vocations that add richness to society and fill needs in our communities, our nation, and our world. On this day of celebration for the work we're able to do, we ask for your grace to all who labor in our land and across this globe, so they may glorify you through the work that they do. Lord, we pray particularly that you look with favor on those who care for people at the beginning and the end of their lives. For all who help others cope with crisis. For men and women who put themselves in harm's way to endure the safety and security of others. People who inspire our imaginations, touch our hearts through their work. Those who do the dirty and dangerous jobs that are necessary but no one else wants to do. We pray for the first-time teen workers and workers who've retired after long, long years of service. We pray for all who contribute to the common good in any way by working. Yet even as we praise you for the provision you make livelihoods through our lives, Lord, we remember and we ask for your grace for all who work hard, yet they struggle to make ends meet, to provide the security for themselves and for their family. We pray for those who live hand to mouth with no savings, so that they are one unexpected or new expense away from financial ruin. We pray for young adults who are strapped and burdened by debt and older adults struggling to live on those fixed incomes. We pray for men and women who are underemployed, those who can't find work, those whose jobs have been made irrelevant or are obsolete by technology and changing culture. Lord, we know too that there are some who do their work unworthily and in godless ways. We pray for a changed heart, for the bullies in the workplace, for bosses and anyone else who take credit for someone else's ideas and work. We pray for the executives and the managers and any in the workplace who are not held accountable for the unethical or immoral behavior. For anyone who produce little or nothing but expect large salaries and perks. We pray for those whose work causes harm, exploits, abuses, or destroys others for profit and pleasure. As we pray for workers on this Labor Day weekend, we ask your help for all who are sick and grieving, troubled and lonely, hurting and helpless. Especially we bring you our neighbors and our friends who are on our hearts today. those whom we've named before you, Lord, whether out loud or silently in our hearts. God, you've taken care of your people through the ages. Continue your covenant faithfulness to us gathered here and grant our prayers. Help us by your Spirit to turn them into compassionate action, and we will give you the glory in all that we do. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. So this morning we've been running through Romans for several weeks, or not through Matthew for several weeks here. And today I'm going to switch that up. We're going to jump to Romans. This is Romans 13, 8 through 14. So here are these words from our apostle Paul. He said, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was reading a story the other day, and it was about an experience that the Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa had when he was just a little boy. He said that it was a life-changing experience for him. Well, this story tugged at my heart directly, especially since I also received a life-changing experience in Africa. Archbishop Desmond Tutu explained that his life suddenly took on a new direction, a new value, a new purpose, because of the display of God's love flowing towards him through another person. Here was the situation. You see, when he was just a small boy in South Africa, if a black person and a white person were sharing the same path, the black person was not only expected to, but actually required to step off of that path and allow the white person to walk by. And then, as the white person walked by, the black person was supposed to lower their head as a sign of respect. Well, one day, Tutu and his mother were walking down the street when they noticed a tall white man dressed in a black suit walking toward them just before he and his mother were going to step off of the path as required. This gentleman stepped off the path and allowed Tutu and his mother to walk by on the path. Not just that, though. As they walked by in amazement, and probably in quite a bit of confusion, the man not only gave them room, but he also tipped his hat in a gesture of respect to Tutu's mother. Desmond Tutu was shocked, and he asked his mother, "Why did that white man do that?" His mother explained to him that this white man was an Anglican priest, and that he was a man of God, and that's why he had done what he had done. In that moment, Tutu felt a different sense of worth, a different value. He even assumed a different kind of depth towards society and his fellow man. Tutu shared in his later years, he said, I decided then and there that I wanted to be an Anglican priest too. But even more than that, what I wanted was to be a man of God, a follower of Christ. And he answered this challenge. This man who tipped his hat at him was also a follower of a Christ. And he answered the challenge from the Apostle Paul. And he overextended his credit limit and willfully incurred the debt of his neighbor. Through his actions, this priest, this man of God, showed Tutu that assuming some kind of a debt, working hard to be debt-free, isn't really the goal that God has in mind for us. He doesn't want us to be debt-free. Love. Especially the love we experience when we find this relationship with Christ comes with a real price. Because we all know love is never ever free. Yet we'll do almost anything we can for it. We're right in the middle of the Labor Day weekend. Think about what you did for most of your life just to make a living. What did you sacrifice through the years so that you could do things like buy a car? Or you younger kids, what did you do to go to prom? Or think back to when you were going to get married. What did you do just to get married? What did you sacrifice? Or maybe to purchase your first house or rent your very first apartment. Many of us have kids or have family and friends with kids. How much time and money and effort would we put into making a living so our loved ones could actually experience a better life? How much debt did we incur over the years in the name of love? That if we look back with our perfect 2020 hindsight vision, we might see that it was more self-serving love than truly going into debt to love one another. When we bought those cars, when we did different things, was it really to love our neighbors? Or was it really what we were willing to sacrifice to love ourselves? Paul says, don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love that you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been saying has been saying all along. Friends, love the least we could say is that love changes us. Love transforms us. It was a debt of love that still saves us today. All of us gathered here today have heard a call from God, who is love. I want us to think about this next question in the light of the weekend, which is intended to allow us to take some time and rest and renew. Do you have any guarantee? Here's the question. Do you have any guarantee that as long as you roam this world, you will ever fully comprehend the results of the love that we allow to flow from God through us towards others? In all reality, we have no clue. The priest in that story earlier had no clue. That just because he treated this young black boy on a path, just because he treated Tutu as an equal neighbor crossing paths on a sidewalk, he had no idea that Tutu would have such an impact on Tutu and then Tutu on this world. That's why Paul actually encouraged us to accumulate this kind of debt. He says it's okay. Almost required for us to run up this kind of debt. This is the one and only instance where we can overdraft an account and never, never ever have to worry about paying it back with interest. What a blessing that is, especially in a time and a nation that seems to be just trapped in consumerism and greed and status and image and self-righteousness. I really love this passage. Just to put this scripture in some context, Paul has been instructing the new Christians in Rome to pay their taxes. Give Caesar, he says, what's Caesar's, and give God what's God's. He doesn't want anyone to end up in jail, or worse, just to protect their worldly possessions. Taxes were a debt that they needed to be responsible for. And we all have these debts. Those debts are a necessary part of a functional society. In order to carry our own weight, paying our debt is always the right thing to do. But Paul, he takes this a step further, like he usually does. He says something pretty radical for his day. And if we watch the news, it's probably still a little radical concept that we need to be the models of for today as well. Paul speaks in reference to what we should give to each other. He says that if there is anything that followers of Jesus Christ owe to another person, it must be nothing other than love. Paul tells us that if we do this, we're actually going to fulfill the law. Think about the Ten Commandments. This is the law that Paul is recalling when he says this. Those Ten Commandments have two main components. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six of those commandments deal with our relationship with our neighbors. If we overextend our relationship, our limit, and debt ourselves in love, actually following these 10 simple rules, then according to Paul, we are going to fulfill the law that God expects us to fulfill. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And now Paul is telling us that if we love one another like Christ loves us, we too are fulfilling the law of God. Folks, it's obvious that we still struggle with that. And I think part of the reason is that for a lot of us, are pretty much always thinking of ourselves first. We've been trained to have this mindset of what's in it for me. But that's not Jesus's kind of love. That's not the agape or unconditional and unmerited love of God. Think about it. We owe God everything. He loves us so much that he sent his son to pay our debt. God came to earth in the form of Jesus, not to repo our stuff, but to cancel our debt completely, to forgive the debt that we owe because of our selfish ways. Here's the last point I want you to hear this morning. When we accept Jesus' gift of a clean credit history, then and only then are we able to live as people who don't owe anything to anybody except to love one another. We don't get out of this guilt or this obligation. It's not a burden. It's done in gratitude for the great love that Christ has shown us. That love is waiting to be shared with others. It's an overflowing reservoir that we can draw from without fear of exhausting the supply and with no consequence of bankrupting ourselves. This is a debt that needs no forgiveness. The only debt that needs no forgiveness The only price that we are expected to pay is to share that love of Christ with others. That's the only debt that Paul wants us to carry. And for that reason, and that reason alone, I hope and I pray that you are never, ever debt-free. To God be the glory. Amen. Friends, we spend a lot of time of our lives working to pay what we owe. We work to pay the mortgage, to pay the bills, for all those obligations that come along with life. And this Labor Day weekend, we give thanks for the work of our hands and for the ability that God has given us to provide for ourselves and for those we love. But there's one debt that we could never work hard enough to pay. That debt that was created by our sin. The good news of Jesus Christ is that we don't have to repay that debt. At this table, this communion table that we're all welcome to, we remember that Christ has already done that work. Through his death and his resurrection, that debt that we could never repay has been paid. The account has been settled, and only through God's grace are our sins forgiven. So we don't come to this table because we've earned a place here. We don't come because we've worked hard enough, or we've lived really well, or we've gotten everything right. We come because Jesus invites us to come. So that's what we're going to do. Come. Come, you who are tired of your labor. Come, you who are carrying burdens. Come, you who know you need God's grace. Our debt has been wiped clean. But Paul reminds us that there's one debt that we're called to keep carrying, the debt of loving one another. So come to the table. Receive the grace you could never earn. And then go back into the world, ready to share that grace with others. The table is ready. Christ invites us. Come and receive. Friends, let us lift up our hearts and give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a good and fruitful work to give thanks to you, Almighty God, in all places and at all times. And in all of our tasks. We can do that whether we're in our cars or we're at home, we're in our offices, out in the fields working, if we're in our kitchen, at our tables, at our desk, at our phones, on computers. We could do that when we're resting or waiting, laboring or supervising, following or leading. In all these places, in all these moments, we join with your people on earth and all the company of heaven in praising your name and giving thanks for your goodness. Holy are you, and holy is your work among us in Jesus Christ, who came to be born in the home of a carpenter. He learned a trade. He lived and he worked among the ordinary people. He called the fishermen and everyday people to follow him. He healed the servant of a soldier. He received the support of the faithful and resourceful women. He called his disciples and trusted him with them with his ministry, and he empowered his followers to continue his work in this world. Through his suffering, his death, his resurrection, Lord, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from the bondage of sin and the power of death and made with us a new covenant by the water and spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus met with his disciples in his last meal. During that meal, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you, God, and then he broke that bread. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take all of you, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when that meal was over, Jesus took the cup again. He gave thanks to you, Lord. And then he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take all of you, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness to clean your debts of sin. Whenever you drink from this cup, whenever you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, the mighty work of God in Jesus Christ, we remember that Christ has died. Christ has risen, that Christ will come again. Lord, we offer ourselves, our daily lives, the places where you have called us to serve, our homes and workplaces, hospitals and schools, farms and businesses, neighborhoods and communities. We offer all this as a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Lord, we would ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry all to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now as the Savior taught us, as well as disciples, to pray, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The table is set, and those who believe are welcome to come. Amen. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Having been fed at your table, Lord, send us into the world in the strength of your Spirit. Help us to give ourselves in love and service to others, and to faithfully carry the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you send us, Lord. May what we have received at this table strengthen our faith, deepen our love, and remind us that wherever we go as the body of Christ. It's in his name, in Jesus Christ's holy name, that we pray. Amen. Let's close in prayer as well. Gracious God, on this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for the work that you have given us to do, for the gifts and the abilities you have placed within us, and for all those who labor, serves our families, our communities, and this world. But today you've reminded us that our greatest calling is not simply the work we do with our hands, but the love that we share through our lives. So thank you for Jesus Christ, who paid the debt that we could never pay and offered us grace we could never earn. Because of him, Lord, we leave here forgiven, restored, and free. Lord, take the gifts that we've offered today and use them for the work of your kingdom. Lord, we would ask that you would multiply them so more people come to know the saving love of Jesus. And as we return to our work soon, as we return to our homes, our schools, our farms, our businesses, our communities, Lord, help us remember that wherever you have placed us, there's kingdom work to be done. Send us out willing to work for what matters, ready to serve where we are needed, and determined to keep running up the one debt you never ask us to pay off, the debt of loving one another. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior. Amen.